Begin the current daf Masechtas Menachos daf Tzadik Vav. Begin 5 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which was discussing Shtei Halechem, Lechem Apanim, regarding what do we do with the kneading and the shaping and the baking of those breads. They're done in the Azar or outside. So that the Mishnah continues with the next one, Chaviti Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol every single day would bring a Michas Machavas, half in the morning, half in the evening. So that says the Mishnah, Chaviti Kohen Gadol, the Chavit that the Kohen Gadol would bring every day, the Shasan, Varechasan, Vafiyasan Bifnim. Unlike the other categories here, everyone agrees that the kneading, the shaping, the baking, all of that had to be in the Azar. Now the reason that is, as Rashi explains, because according to everyone, the half of the Isarin, there was a certain midah measurement that measured a Chatzi Isarin, a flour, which the Kohen Gadol would use to separate his Isarin to use half in the morning, half in the evening, that vessel was anointed, which sanctified it. And therefore, once it's sanctified it, you can't go ahead and take it outside and do the kneading and the shaping outside, because that would be Psul Yetz, it was already sanctified inside. Now, the reason why it wasn't necessarily sanctified, the Isarin one, which was used by every person's mincha, which that we said, yeah, even after the flour was put in there, they could possibly knead it or shape it outside the Azara, is because that's the measuring tool that every regular individual used for his mincha. And sometimes a person might take it outside, because of that concern, they weren't necessarily meishach and anoint that measuring tool. But this Chatzi Yisran was only utilized by the Kehanim to separate the Yisranim into half. That's only utilized here, as we find by the Mechas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol. And since Kehanim has reason, we weren't concerned about that, and therefore was sanctified. And therefore, once the flour is already put in, at that stage it's already sanctified. So everything after that, subsequently, like the kneading and the baking, all had to be done in the Azara. And V'deiches is HaShabbos, these procedures override the laws of Shabbos. One's allowed to do these things, these activities, which are generally malachas forbidden, but like bringing the karbanis in the Beis HaMikdash, which have to be done today, overrides the prohibition of malach of Shabbos. Now, however, tchinasin v'ar kadasin, but the stage before the flour, grinding the grain, sifting it, in the deiches HaShabbos, that does not override the prohibitions of Shabbos. As the Mishnah tells us, klal amir b'kibbe told us a general rule. Call malacha she'ef shalasayis amerv Shabbos. Any malacha, any activity that can be done from before Shabbos, like grinding or sifting, ain't a deches Shabbos. That doesn't override Shabbos. You can't do it even for a carbon in the base of Midrash. But for she'ef shalasayis amerv Shabbos, whatever cannot be done from before Shabbos, like it's baking, you can't do for the day before, and not even kneading or shaping it. Because like we said, since the vessel of the flour already sanctifies it, it would be invalidated by being left out overnight. So then deches Shabbos, and therefore that overrides Shabbos, and you could do those malachas on Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah, Kol HaMenachos, all flour offerings, Yesh Ben Maisik Kli. There is the obligation of, when you're doing the kneading and the shaping, it has to be in the Kli Sharis, in a vessel, which has a concave, that has a receptacle, and it has to be Bifnim, in the Azara, and not outside. Because like the Mishnah says, Ve'im Ben Maisik Kli B'chutz, is no halacha of having in a vessel on the outside, it has to be in the Azara, and it has to be in the Kli Sharis. Continues the Mishnah, Shtei HaLechem, the two breads that were brought together with the Kivsei Atzeres and Shvuas, Arka and Shiva Tvachim, the length of the breads were 7 Tvachim, V'rechav and Dal Tvachim, its width is 4 Tvachim, a Tvach is basically like the size of a fist, and V'karnei Seha, and the horns, because they would attach a little dough to all the corners like horns, on the edges of the breads, and the length of the horns were Arba Etzbayis, were 4 finger breadths. Now, lechem apanim, the showbreads, which there were 12 of them on the shulchan every Shabbos, arkon yud tfachim, their length was 10 tfachim, v'rechavin he tfachim, the width is 5 tfachim, v'karnaisav shevet spice, and the horns, there it also had a dough that they attached to the corners, the horns, were shevet spice, were 7 finger breadth, is the width of what a finger is, 7 of those in its height. Now, Rabbi Yudaim, he says, shalei tita, that one should not make an error between the measurements of the Shtei HaLechem and the Lechem Apanim, both in its width and its length, and in the kronis, the horns, the edges, the corners. So you have Zedad, meaning the Shtei HaLechem, the two breads of Shvuas, you have Zayin Dalad Dalad, meaning its length was Zayin, was 7 Tfachim, the width was Dalad, was 4 Tfachim, and the horns was 4 Etzbais. And you have Yahaz, which was the Lechem Apanim, the length was 10 Yud, 10 Tfachim, the width was Hei, which is 5 Tfachim, and the Karnaisav, were Zion, were 7 Etzbais. because the Shidim Gubetzis and Eitzchaz brings that it was Rabbi Huda's custom to give a simon and a mnemonic to remember things like famously in the Haggadah, the Tzach Hadash Be'achav, for the 10 Makas. Here too, he gave a simon and a mnemonic to recall what were the measurements by both the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Apanim. Continuing on these halachas, Ben Zayi Ma'imer, he says, according to the Pasuk in Shemais, it says, V'nesata ala shulchan, you should put on the table in the Mishkan, in the oil moed, lechem panim lefanai tamid, bread of faces in front of me constantly. So explains Ben Zayi Ma'imer, what does it mean lechem panim? Sheyiu le'panim, that it should have faces, meaning walls. Because as we explained previously, like it's like an open box, it has walls on either side, or like a boat, as we said, it has walls. Or another interpretation that's actually not read as panim, but rather pinim, which means corners, which Rashi explains. Those are the kronis that we mentioned before, that it should have these corners on the breads. Now, continues the Mishnah, regarding to the measurements, which we described the measurements of the breads. Now the Mishnah describes, related to this, hashulchan, regarding the measurements of the dimensions of the table itself. So, arka yud v'rachavi chamisha. Its length was 10, and its width was 5. And this is in the Tfachim. Now, the way we know this, because the Pasuk says, Amasayim Arkai, its length was 2 Amas, and Amarachbay, its width was an Amma. Now, as we're going to be quoting, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who he goes according to his understanding that the Amas HaKelim, the Amas, as we're going to see, when there's a measurement of an Amma, which is generally known as 6 Tfachim, it actually depends. There's a machlaikis and there's differing situations. What exactly is the measurement of an Amma? Yehuda's opinion is, the Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash, their Amma was an Amma of 5 Tfachim. So therefore, 2 Amas in its length is going to be 10 Tfachim, and 1 Amma in its width is going to be 5 Tfachim. Now, Lechem HaPanim, the showbreads themselves, were Urka Yud V'Rachavayhe. Their length was 10 Tfachim, and their width was 5 Tfachim. So he explains that Nois and Urka, they would place the length of the breads, Keneged Rachve Shel Shulchan, it would be perpendicular to the length of the table. It wouldn't be the length of the bread according to the length of the table. It would be horizontal. It would be to the width of the table. And therefore, v'kaifel, they had to fold over the breads, v'tfachayim v'nechtzim mikan, and then you have 2.5 tfachim that's folded over in the other side. And actually, that's where on the top was where the kronis were, where we had those corners coming out of the things. But one thing is that it comes out is that the edge of the lechem apanim, of the breads, were going upwards vertically in the parallel with the edge of the table itself. Now, the reason for this is because, like we said, that the length of the bread was 10 tfachim. The width of the table is only 5 tfachim. How could the bread fit? So rather, if you folded up 2.5 tfachim on one side and 2.5 tfachim on the other side, that's 5 tfachim. And then 5 tfachim on the table itself, that makes for a total of 10 tfachim. So, and Rashi explains, according to the other opinion who holds that it wasn't an open box, but rather a Sfina Rekadas, that it was like this dancing swift ship, so then, yeah, the walls would go on a slant. But it was the main idea that it was going up on the diagonal, but it ended exactly where the edge of the table was. Now, says the Mishnah, it comes out, if you describe the bread in the way we just said it, that the length of the bread is going to fit into the entirety of the width of the table. Because we said that the width is 5 tfachim, the bread is actually 10, but all of it is not horizontal. Half of it, on either side, quarters are going to be going upwards, that fits in the 5 of tfachim of the width of the table. Now, so too, the width of the breads takes up the entirety of the length of the table, because each breads, because we actually had 2 orders of 6, but there was one on top of the other, as we're going to describe later on. So essentially, you're looking at 2 breads on the bottom, the rest were piled up on top. The width of the bread took up half of the shulchan, because as we said, the width of the bread is 5 tfachim, and the entirety, the length of the table is 10. So when they then put the second order on the side of it, it comes out that the table was entirely full, both in its length and in its width. And its length was because of the 2 breads in their width, and in the width of the table was the length of the bread itself, because it was folded over. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Remeir, he has different dimensions, because as we're going to explain, he has a different understanding of the Amos that were used for the Kalim, specifically as we're describing here, the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash in the Mishkan. He says, HaShulchan, the table, was actually Orka Yud Beis, was a length of 12 Tvachim, which is more than Rabbi Yehuda, Varach Vevav, and was a width of 6 Tvachim. Because as we can explain, Remeir goes according to his understanding that all the Amos were what's called Beinonias, were intermediate Amos, which was those of 6 Tvachim, not Rabbi Yehuda, 5 Tvachim. Now, however, lechem upon him, he agrees to that the showbreads themselves were erka yud v'rechavah, were a length of 10 tfachim and a width of 5 tfachim. On that, he doesn't disagree. So, but it comes out now a difference now, because now he has more space on the table than Rabbi Yehuda does. Nice and arkoy k'neged rachvit shel shulchan. So he says, okay, same idea like Rabbi Yehuda in its formation. He put the length of the breads along the width of the table. Now, kaifa tfachayim mikan for tfachayim mikan. He doesn't have to have folded over 2.5 tfachim, so that it ends at the edge of the table like Rabbi Yehuda had. He says, rather you fold it over 2 tfachim on one side and 2 tfachim on the other side. Now, but it comes out, in regard to the length of the table, utvachaim revach be'emtza. You have a space, a gap of 2 tfachim in the middle between the two orders of the breads. Because like we said, the width of the breads themselves are only 5 tfachim. So the two orders are taking up an area of the length of the table of 10 tfachim. You have an extra 2 tfachim because according to Reb Meir, we said the length is 12 tfachim. So says Reb Meir, in that space between the two orders, why was there a space? So that the wind should be able to blow over there, that they shouldn't become moldy and spoiled, because if there's no space, things get ruined. You need air to get in and to ventilate. That was the utility of those extra 2 tfachim. Now, Abba Sholem, he says, no, actually, Shem, in that space between the two orders of the breads, that's where they actually put the 2 spoonfuls of frankincense that were utilized for the lechem upon him. Now, Amar Loi, but they said to Abba Shol, says, how could you say that? But the pasuk says that you're going to put on, which means literally on the orders of the breads, levay nezaka, pure frankincense. So you see, it goes on the bread, not between them. So Amalehem, he said to them, what do you mean? Hari kvar namar, but there's a pasuk in Bamidbar that says va'olav, and on, which is going on the shevet of Ephraim, was mati menashe. Well, it doesn't mean that Menashe was on Ephraim. It means that they were nearby. So you see, al can mean nearby, and therefore it doesn't mean literally the spoonfuls were on the breads, or rather means nearby in that gap of 2 tfachim, according to Abba Shaul. Continues the Mishnah, describing the Shulchan, v'arbas nifin shel zav ha'yisham, and there were these 4 boards of gold that were there on the sides, going up from the sides of the Shulchan, going upwards, to maintain the structure of the breads, which go all the way up, which mufetzol mirashehen, which there were these holes on the top, which were these pegs that they could put the rods on those pegs, which there were these many holes according to the amount of rods that they were, because as the Mishnah tells us, because they would lean on these pegs, these rods that would be, and these senefin, these boards were shnayim l'sei dezeh, you had 2 for this order, v'shnayim l'sei dezeh, and 2 for this order, meaning if we're talking about the length of the table, so then there's 1 order of breads and then another order of breads, and each one had to have on each side boards so that you could have these pegs and that you could have the rods in between which separate between the breads going up and up and up. Like the Mishnah describes, v'chofches kanim, there were 28 rods, and the Gemara explained how does that calculate exactly how many rods are being used for each bread. Kechatzi kanachal, and each rod was like a half of a hollowed out reed, which is like a half, like a pipe, a half of a pipe like of a rod. And you had arbas l'sei dezeh, so you had 14 rods for this order of the breads, v'yudal l'sei dezeh, and 14 for these order, meaning for the 6 breads on the other order. Now, additionally, related to these halachas, says the Mishnah, lo sidur kanim, neither the organizing of the rods for the new breads that were brought this Shabbos, v'lo nitilasim, and neither taking the rods from when you're taking off the old order of the breads, neither one of those are deiches Shabbos. They don't override the halachas of Shabbos, which doesn't allow one to move these rods on Shabbos. Ela nichnas me'er of Shabbos, rather what they would do is they would go in before Shabbos, the shemte, and they would remove the rods between all the breads that they separated, and they would put them, and would be placed along the length of the shulchan, and then tomorrow they would organize the new breads, and on Matzah Shabbos they would go and place the rod between all the breads as they're supposed to be to separate them. Now, moreover, concludes the Mishnah, Kol HaKelim Shehayu B'Mikdash, all the vessels that were in the Beis HaMikdash, for example, like the tables that were there, Arkan La'arka Shel Bayis, the length of those Kelim would be along the length of the Beis HaMikdash, which would go from east to west. The length, one comes in on the east, and the length is from east to west. So too, the Kelim over there, their length was also going from east to west. Now the Gemara explains that our Mishnah said, "Kol ha'manachas yesh ben ma'aseh kli b'fnim." All flour offerings have an activity that one has to do it in a vessel inside the azar. Like we said, with the kneading and the shaping. Shaulah's Rebbe, they asked Rebbe, "Zuminayin, where do we know this from that manachas required that its activities be done in a kli?" So Amalemi said to them, Harei Yoimer, the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Vayoimer Alai, and he said to me, Zeha Mokum Ashivashlo Shema Kahanim, and the Gir says, as Oshem Eslachatas, this is the place where the Kahanim, that they cook the Korban Oshem, the Korban Chatas, Ashagirfes Amincha, where they bake the Mincha, Levilti Hoitzi Elachotzach, and not to take it out to the outer courtyard. Now, says Rebbe, Mincha Dumida Oshem Echatas, the Pasuk is equating the flower offering to the Korban Oshem and the Chatas. Ma Asher Mechatas Tunin Kli, just like the preparatory activities of Asher Mechatas requires a vessel, because the Pasuk says Asher Vashlu, which they would cook here in this Pasuk, which cooking has to be in a vessel. You could roast without a vessel, but to cook you have to have it in a vessel, in a pot. And moreover, it's saying that it's being done in Da'azar, like the Pasuk says, Levilti Hoitzi Elachatzach Etzani, not to take it out to the outer courtyard. Av Mincha Namet Tunin Kli, so the Mincha is being compared to that too, that it has to be done in a vessel, and also that has to be done in the Azar. Now the Mishnah said, HaShulchan Orkei Asara, the length of the table was a length, according to the opinion of Rabbi Huda, of 10 Fach. Now, Amr Rabbi Yechon, he explains regarding this Machlekes in the Mishnah of Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir, and he says, L'divri ha'omer tfachayim u'mechtze kaifel, according to Rabbi Huda, who he said that, because he had different dimensions than in the Shulchan than Rabbi Meir, and he said that the width was only 5 tfachim. So he said that what you have to do is the bread, the length is 10 tfachim. How is that going to fit in the width of the table, which is 5 tfachim? So he says, you fold over the breads. That's how the shape of the lechem upon them was. That 2.5 tfachim is going up on one side, 2.5 tfachim going up on the other side. So says Rabbi Yechon, according to his opinion, Nimtza Shulchan Mekadesh Chamisha Asa Tfachim Mala. Comes out that the table, the Shulchan, is sanctifying in its height an area of 15 tfachim. Because if you calculate, there's 6 breads going one up on top of the other. And each one goes up a height of 2.5 tfachim for each bread. You do that math, comes out to be 15 tfachim. Now, the relevancy of that is, because if you're going to put in the airspace of the shulchan something within the area of 15 tfachim, it's going to sanctify that it will become invalidated if it's left out overnight. Now, L'divri Yoimer Tfachayim Kaifel, but according to Rebbe Meir, it says it was only doubled over on each side 2 tfachim, which means each bread only had a height of 2 tfachim. Nimza Shulchan Mekadesh Rebbe's Tfachim Amala comes out that the table is only sanctifying in its ear space a height of 12 tfachim going up. Now, however, the Gemara asked on Rebbe Yechanan, but is that the measurements, 12 and 15? But Ve'ikur Kanim. What do you mean? We said there's these rods between each one of the breads, which therefore makes the height a little bit more. Says the Gemara, no, Kanim Shakui Mishakalahu. The rods actually was a little bit submerged in indentations in the breads themselves. When they were still dough, they made these indentations, and the rods went into those indentations, and therefore didn't elevate the height any more than the bread itself. Well, that is the Gemara. Why? My timer, what's the reason? In other words, the rods, why were they there between the breads? They were there mishum ifushi lechem, because there should be ear space that they shouldn't spoil. So then at the end of the day, if you tell me that they were submerged in the breads, so then there's no airspace, because that means each bread is squashed right on top of the one beneath it, so come out pishlechem, so then the bread's going to spoil. Says Gemara, no, the magvalei porta. No, the rods were elevated, made a gap a little bit, because it wasn't totally submerged in the bread itself. So ask the Gemara, beikahu porta, so then there's that little bit. So how are you saying it's just 12 tfachim or 15 tfachim? Says the Gemara, kivin dolei havetafach, since that amount, that little bit that was giving space, where a little bit of that rod was not submerged in the bread, they gave space between one and the other, it wasn't even the size of a tefach, so lechashalei, therefore that wasn't counted. But the Gemara asks a different question, but vika bezichin? What do you mean? There's the spoonfuls of frankincense, which they're on top of the breads, that adds to the height of each one, so it should be a little bit more, which is being sanctified. Which Rashi asks, why is the Gemara asking this question? The Shulchan is not Mekadosh to Bezichin. How can you say it's adding to the height? Because we're talking about height of what's sanctified in the airspace. The bread is sanctified on the Shulchan, not the Bezichin. But that's the Gemara's question, but there's the Bezichin. Says the Gemara, that's not difficult, because Begavei de Lechem Havayasvi. The Bezichin was not on top of the walls of the bread. It was on the inside of the bread. Ulebahadi Lechem Havakami. Therefore, it's in the airspace of what that height of the top bread that it was on, and therefore it's not adding to any height. That is the Gemara about Ikakronis. But as we mentioned before, this halacha that there's these horns that come out from the edges of the walls in the corners, and that adds height to the breads. So the Gemara Kronis Ligavei de Lechem Kaiflu. The corners were actually folded over into the inside of the breads, the Lechem Alayu Nachle, and therefore the bread that was on top of it was resting on it, it didn't add any height. But as we continue to Medbeis, the Gemara asks a different question. But still, Vaika Mazgartai. There is the Mizgeris, which is like a frame, which had a height of a tefach, which was on the Shulchan, and therefore when you're going to put the breads on top of that, That's adding a tefach. So it's not going to be just 15 tefachim. It should be 16 tefachim. So the Gemara, Kaman da'amim is gardi lamata. It's actually machlekes. And it's going like the one who says that the mizgeres was not on top of the shulchan, it was actually beneath the shulchan. Meaning there were these the four boards that were width of a tefach that were attached to the sides, not on its width, rather going from along the length of the table, around all the four legs of the shulchan, on all four directions, and the slab of the table itself was resting on those boards like as if it was covering it. Which, as Rashi points out, and therefore, when they wanted to, they could take away these mezgeres because it wasn't permanently there. It's actually beneath it, just attached to the legs right there on the top. So it looked like it was like a frame, but it was actually beneath it. Moreover, answers the Gemara, even though lamandam a mezgerta lamala ha'isan, even according to the one that says that the mezgeres was on top, but perku they have a mefrakta, like the terminology prakten, which is like someone leaning back, like as if in a beach chair, it actually didn't go up straight up, to, as if the bread was on it. No, it actually was on the diagonal going outward. So the bread didn't go on it, and therefore it didn't add to the height of the breads that was extending from the starting point of the shulchan itself. And v'lechem begaveh the shulchan abayosef, the bread was on the shulchan itself. K'ditan le'gulun the b'raisa, that first of all, that there is an opinion that holds that the miskeres was actually not on the top, it was actually beneath, attached between the feet. And moreover, we'll see that even the one who holds it was on the top, it didn't rest on it. Rather, it was containing it because it was on the side of it, going outward. Now, moreover, however, as we're going to see in the next Gemara's inference, is going to be related to this idea that, but the upper slab, which is the table itself, was actually smooth on both sides. It didn't have, if we're going according to the one who holds it was on the bottom, it didn't have a base kibble. It didn't have anything on the top to receive anything because it was totally flat. That's what we learned in the Braisa, that Rabbi Yisrael, he says, he's the first opinion. He says, Lo hayasham snifin. He says, actually, there were no of these boards on each side holding up the breads. He says, Ele miskarta shel shulchan ha-menasas lechem. The mizgeres, the frame of the table, is what contained the breads. So, one thing we see from his opinion, even though he's saying that the mizgeres is lamala, we see that he's saying that it's not on top of it, but rather it was just maimed the bread. It was actually, it was a frame around it. So, it contained the bread, just like the quality of the snifin, which was not on it, but rather on the sides. But moreover, Amar Lo, Veitz et Rabbi Yisi, which the opinion we also want to bring out, is Mizgeret Lamato. He says, what are you talking about? There was no snifin because the Mizgeret held the bread? No, the table was flat. It could fall off. Therefore, there was a Mizgeret. There was snifin. He says, the Chacham said to Rabbi Yisi, no, the Mizgeret was beneath. So therefore, that was what the Gemara's answer was, that the frame didn't add anything, because first of all, we see like those who say that it was beneath. And moreover, even those who hold it was on top, like Rabbi Yisi, it wasn't something that adding more height to the table itself. It was on the side of it going outward, which was maimed the bread. Now, based on this machlekes, was the mezgeres on the top or below? So Amar Biechen, he says, L'divi ha'imim mezgeret lamata. He's according to the one who says that this frame was actually beneath. So then it comes out, you could prove the following halachic element. Tavla ha'misapeches. Regarding a slab, a tablet, something that's smooth, that could be turned either side, one side or the other side, that you can utilize whichever side as, let's say, as the vessel. But it's smooth on both sides. Tmeya, that it's going to be tummy, which is a chiddush, a novelty, because generally a vessel to receive tummy has to have a clay kibla, has to have a receptacle. But that proves Rabbi Yechanan that obviously it becomes tummy, like the shulchan that was in the Beis HaMikdash, which was makabel tummy, as the Gemara is going to later on prove. So what we're saying is that this tablet, this slab, does not have the same halacha like what's called generally pshut dekliyetz, which is a smooth wooden vessel, which is not mekabel tumah. Here it's different, as Rashi explains the reason, because since it's very wide, that's like holding something. It's almost like a kli kibbo, like a receptacle. Now, there's an added piece in Rashi, which there's commentary if one should have that gerusa or not, but Rashi says, an added dimension, he says that any pshut dekliyetz, which is fit for what's called medris, for like someone to lean on, to sit on, is makabel tumah. So therefore, something as wide as a long table like that, which is something that one could rest on, that would be makabel tumah. As the Gemara says explicitly, Masechtas Becharei, Safal Mechasa Medalef, where the Gemara there asks, what do you mean, kli shatif that doesn't have a teich, doesn't have a receptacle, biblically you think it's going to be makabel tumah? But as we're going to explain later on, our Gemara has to be similar to as the other elements in the pasuk, which is a sock, which has to be able to have a receptacle. And that the Gemara says, no, because it's chaz l'medrasais, it's fit to sit on, to lay on, and therefore, that's something that will be mekabel tumah. And therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, since we know the shulchan is mekabel tumah, so obviously, that the shulchan, which, according to the one that says there was no clay kibble on the top, it was just smooth, and the same thing is on the bottom too, that because they could even remove those things, there was nothing there to hold it, so therefore, you see that tavla mesapech is mekabel tumah. Now, but says Rabbi Yechon, Debi ha'imim miskarta l'malo, he's according to the one who says that there was a frame on the top. So then, oh, the reason why the shulchan is mekabel tumah is because it has a base kibble. It has a receptacle, like we said, like just like it had, according to Rabbi Yossi, the snif, and just like what the boards did on the top, that it held it in. So to he said the miskarta is what held it in. It was like basically the walls of a vessel. So it's not something that misapechas, it doesn't turn over because it's only utilized on the top. It's not like a slab that you could turn it over either way here. Obviously, it's the top part that's used. So, tavla misapechas tibayalach. Then, according to the Amandami, you would still have the question, what's the halacha with a tavla misapechas? You can't prove from the shulchan. The shulchan is not makabel tumah because it's a tavla misapechas. It's makabel tumah because it's a clay kibble. It has walls surrounding it on the top. Now, the Gemara asks on what Rabbi Yechon was saying, Mechlal de shulchan bar kebuli tumahu, what assumption Rabbi Yechon was saying in his halacha, which it was the premise based on that, is that the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash could be mekabel tumah, it's susceptible and vulnerable to tumah. And that's how he proves, according to that mandama, okay, obviously if it's a tavla mesapeches and still it's mekabel tumah. But on that, it's the Gemara, why? Kli eitza osla nachasu, the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash is a wooden vessel that's meant to be stationary. It's not lifted up. And therefore, it's not similar to a sackcloth, which is used to carry, to take things, to be mobile. Because as the Gemara says, V'chol kli eitza osla nachas in makabel tumah, any wooden vessel that's meant to be stationary, cannot contract tumah. My time, what's the reason? Because dumi de sakbin, and these are all mentioned in the pasuk when it talks about the halachas of tumah, it mentions all these different elements, and one of them is sak, a sackcloth, which they're all compared to it, to tell you, ma sak metalti molibriyekin, just like a sackcloth is something that's meant to be carried, whether full or empty, avkol metalti molibriyekin, all those other elements, including wood, is only going to contract tumah if it's movable, and whether it's full or empty. But a clear to osel nachas is meant to be stationary, is not metal, so it's not moved, so it's not makabel tumah. So how could we say and make this assumption that the shulchan is makabel tumah? Says the Gemara, no, shulchan nami metal tim olav reken. The table in the Beis HaMikdash was actually something that was moved, whether it was full, meaning with its contents on it, or empty. Why so? Wasn't it stationed? Didn't always stay there? No, could be Rish Lakish. Dama Rish Lakish, he says, Maidich said, wasn't in the passing of Yikud, it says, ala shulchan hatar. That you should put the lechem aponim on the pure shulchan. Tar, pure. Mechal deker tameh, that infers as if it could be tameh. How could it be tameh? Says Rish Lakish, because Ela Melamed rather teaches Shemagibiyan Oysi Leil Regom. They actually would lift it up, it wasn't always stationary. They would lift it up to those who made the pilgrimages on the Shalish Regom, on the three Yom Taivim, because Umarim Beilechem, they wanted to lift it up so that they could show them the bread. And they would tell the Jewish people, Ru'uchi baschem lefnei amakim, look how dear you are in front of Hashem. What does that mean? What were they showing? How are they showing that they're dear to Hashem? Kedivri b'shu ben Levi, like the words of b'shu ben Levi. Dami b'shu ben Levi, like he said, Nes godel nasav lechem upon them. There's a great miracle that happened with the showbread, and to show the Jewish people, look how much Hashem loves you, that he makes such a miracle, that siluke kisidurai, the way it was taken off, was the same as it was when it was put on in the first place. Shnemak, it says the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. It says, "Losum lechem cham b'yom elakchei," to place hot bread on the day that you're taking it, meaning it was just as hot and warm as if it was freshly baked when it was being taken off, and that's why it was moved to show the Jewish people. So it wasn't kli etzla asal nachas; it was meant to be moved, and therefore it could be mekabel tumah. Now that is the Gemara. It's actually asked on Rish Lakish. But it should be enough for me. What do you mean? Why does the shulchan have to prove? And that's what he's saying. That's why it's makabel tumah, and that's why it has to be hashulchan atar, as if it could be makabel tumah, because they would lift it up. Ask the Gemara why. Even if it wasn't lifted up, it should be makabel tumah. Mishum tzipui, because the shulchan was plated with a metal, that of gold. Metal is not compared to a sackcloth. Metal is makabel tumah, even if it's asul anachas, even if it's meant to be stationary, it's makabel tumah. So why do you have to say it was lifted up? Even if it wasn't lifted up, it should still be makabel tumah. Me, let's not, didn't we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim that we base a designation, the identity of a vessel based on its what it's plated with. So even though it's wood, yeah, and wood has to be mekabel tuma only when it's like compared in the pasuk to sackcloth that it's movable. But metal is different, and we're going to define the table based on its plating. Because as we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, that says hashulchan v'hadulfki. It says regarding a table or regarding a dulfki, which is a type of a folding chair of leather, which they would eat on, basically like a type of a table. If shenifchasu, if it became deficient. Or some other thing that would take away from its ability to become tame. If let's say it was plated with marble, which is a plating of stone. Now, a stone vessel, just like other things, is not mekabel tuma. But, so essentially, these shulchan and dovki should not be mekabel tuma anymore. But says the Mishnah, if a shayer ben makam anochas kaisen, but if there's still enough place that did not become deficient or was not covered with marble, enough space where you could have to put down your cup, so you have a shulchan, so then it could contract tumma because it's made out of something that could be makabal tumma. Behuda, he says a little different, he says, mokum anochas chatichas, has to be enough space to put down a piece of something, a piece of bread or a piece of meat. But one thing asked the Gemara is, what you see from the Mishnah is shayer in, only because they left over part of it that was not covered with the stone plating, that you could still utilize it for its in its initial structure, so that's what's makabal tumma. But loy shayer loy, but we're saying that if none of thing was left over, the whole table was covered with marble, then it's not going to be kabbalah tum anymore. So obviously you see, you don't go based on the primary element that the table was made out of, you go based on the covering. So here too, if the covering was metal, so it should be kabbalah tum, even though it's a kli hasel anachas. And says the Gemara, v'chitim, and if you're going to say, oh no, it's not difficult in Rish Lakish, why? Because Khan, over here in the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, that says you go based on what's the plating, what's the covering, that's only b'tzipu oimid. That's only with something that's permanent plating, which it was put together, let's say with nails, that you really firmly attached it. Khan, but over here, what we're discussing regarding the Shulchan and the Beis HaMikdash, that's b'tzipu sheino oimid. That's not something that was put together with, it was plated, it was a slab of gold, but it wasn't permanently put in there with nails. There, we're not going to base it based on the plating, and therefore we'll base it based on a table made out of wood, which is what the shulchan is made out of, and therefore, if it's asla nachas, it was made to be stationary, it would not be mekabel tuma, because they're not going to define it based on its gold plating, because it's not kavu b'masmaras. And that says, how could you say such an answer? But Rish Lakish had asked from Yechanan regarding that Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, that tells us that a table and this folding chair, that it says we define the table based on its plating. Rish Lakish asked from Yechanan, Betzipa Oimid, was that only by a permanent plating? Or Betzipa Shein Oimid, or was that even by a non-permanent plating? And also he asked him, B'shechipa es, as we continue in the time of Tzadizan Manalv, Levizvazen, that it's, if it covers the rim, meaning the edge that goes around the table, which that's the Misgeris in the equivalent of what we're talking about here in the Shulchan, or B'shechipa es Levizvazen, or is that even if it's not covering the rim? V'amalei, and Rabbi Yechanan told him, Loishna, it doesn't make a difference if Tzipa Oimid, B'loishna Tzipa She'en Oimid, it's even if the plating is not permanent. It doesn't make a difference if it covers the rim or not. We will go based on the plating. So you see, the answer we're trying to give is not valid. It should still be going based on the plating, even if it's not permanent, like it is in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, it should still be considered a kli zav, a kli matris, which should be mekabel tuma, even without what Rish Lakish is trying to prove that it was lifted up, because it's a kli matris, not a kli eitz. Now, says the Gemara, a different approach. V'chitim, if you're going to say, no, atzei shitim, the shittim wood, which is what the shulchan was made out of, that's chashivi. That's distinguished. V'loi batli. That does not become nullified and secondary to the plating. And therefore, it's not going to be kabel tuma because of its plating, unless if we had Rish Lakish who said because it was lifted up. Says the Gemara, if you want to take that approach, ha-nechel Rish Lakish. That would only be a good resolution according to Rish Lakish. The Amma that he says, lo-ishan, we didn't learn that Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. That if let's say it was plated with marble, that will qualify the vessel, the table based on its plating. Rish Lakish says that was elabakli, that was only talking about by a wooden vessel that's achsalgus, a type of wood that's called achsalgus, habam menin seyam, which comes from overseas, which is not such a chash of a piece of wood. Avakli mismas, but this wood that's called mismas, chashivi v'lebatli. Oh, that's distinguished. That's not going to be secondary. That's not going to be nullified based on what you're plating it. Says, so okay, Shapir, based on that, you could say a good answer for why Rish Lakish was saying that we're not going to go based on the plating to say why it's mekabel tuma. He had to say because it was lifted up, because we're considering it as a kli eitz, because the shittim is very distinguished, and you're not going to base it based on the plating of gold. But Rabbi Yechanan, Dama Kli Mismis Nami Batli, but according to Rabbi Yechanan, says even Chashav, a word like Mismis, does become Batli and secondary to the plating. My Kli Mem, what are you going to say? Why does Rish Lakish say that it's Mekabel Tuma because it was lifted up, when really it's Mekabel Tuma simply because it was plated with gold? Says the Gemara, an answer for Rabbi Yechanan too. Shani Shulchan, the table is different. Because yeah, although it should be based on the plating, based on the generic halachas that we know, but Rachmana Kariyates, the Torah calls it wood. So we see that the Torah considers it wood, and therefore if it's considered kliyates, it cannot be mekabel tumah unless it's not osel lanachas, unless it was metaltim olav reken, which Rish Lakish was describing, that it was metaltim olav reken, it was lifted up, to show the Jewish people how dear they are, that that's why it could be mekabel tumah. But not because the plating, because the Torah is not considering that significant. Shemak says the pasuk in Yecheskel, Hamizbeach eats the altar of wood. Sholosh Amis Gavaya had a height of 3 Amis. Orkosh Daim Amis, the length was 2 Amis. And the gear says, Mukta'is of Loi, and its corners was for it, meaning that it was squared. The Orkai Vikirais of eights, its length and its walls were wood. Very Darbalai, and he said to me, so up until now, it sounds like we're talking about the Mizbeach, but we're talking about the Shulchan, but he said to me, Zeha Shulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem, this is the table which is in front of Hashem. So one thing we see is that the Shulchan is being described as a Kli Eitz, so therefore since it's being described as a Kli Eitz, that's why, even according to Rabbi Yechanan, it wouldn't be considered Mekabel Tumah based on this plating, even though he always goes based on the plating, and because it's considered Kli Eitz, and that's why it's only, like we said before, because it's meant to be moved. When they went and showed the Jewish people, that's why it's Mekabel Tumah. But one thing the Gemara asked, which is the obvious question on this pasuk b'mizbeach b'sayim b'shulchan. What I mean, it opens up by describing the dimensions and calling it a altar, and then it ends by describing it as a shulchan. So Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lazar, Amar Tavai, they both say, you know what this pasuk is alluding to? B'zman she Beis Hamikdash kaim, when the Beis Hamikdash was still around, mizbeach mechap al adam. You're right, the altar would atone for the person. It was the consumption of holiness in the Beis Hamikdash of the altar which atoned for the person. The achshav shein Beis Hamikdash kaim, but now that the Beis Hamikdash, the tabernacle is not around anymore, shulchanei shel adam mechap al adam. It's the person's table that atones for him. It's his eating that has to be holy, where he gives pieces of food to guests that come along. It's his table that atones. That's why the pasuk is describing in the same words mizbeach and shulchan, to say that now it's a person's shulchan that's considered like a mizbeach, like his own private altar. But one thing is that we see that the shulchan is called the kliyates, and again, that's why even according to Rabbi Yechanan, who always goes based on tzipi, we couldn't say it's mekabel tumah because of the metal plating, even though generally metal is even if it's osel anachas. Rather, it is a kliyates, but it's mekabel tumah because, like we said, because it is osel letalta moli vereken, it actually was not osel anachas, it actually was lifted up by the shalosh regalim.